You can't live the Christian life by yourself. Even the Lone Ranger had a buddy. Jesus founded a community, people with whom to share the Christian faith and the Christian life. One place to find it is in the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, Escondido. Sunday services 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. 760-745-1679. 760-745-1679. On the web, eurc.org. Don't be a Lone Ranger. Announcing to everyone that Jesus is Lord and Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
In the face of all the things that are happening in our day, especially looking at this from a Christian perspective, the sheer escalation of wickedness, all the things that are happening so quickly in our society, how things are being redefined, how things are being pushed down upon us, how we are seeing morality and all of the things that we believed in the scriptures, our society's attempting to overturn. All of this escalation all at once creates a real dilemma for Christians. And if I were to ask the question today, what scares you the most about the future? Who do you worry about the most? We shouldn't worry, of course, but worry is a problem that Christians face. Who is most on our minds? The answer would be our children. We're concerned for them. We think a lot about them. They're growing up in different times. The challenges that they're facing are going to be entirely different than the ones that previous generations knew. How will they survive? What will they do? Will they stand strong? Will they be able to stand for the fight? These things concern us as Christian parents. Today on Abounding Grace, we're going to look at this. The Lord has answered this problem for us. The Lord has dealt with this problem in the past. His people in the nation of Egypt were held in bondage, Israel was, by the Egyptians, and they were just as concerned about their children. What did the Lord do for their children? How did He deliver them? What kind of peace and comfort does that give us as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ delivering power? That's what we're tackling today in this plague, the eighth plague of Exodus, as we're continuing to study the plagues. So thankful you've taken time out of your day to tune in to Abounding Grace. Visit us on the web at agradio.org. Again, agradio.org. Find us on Facebook, download the podcasts, and also there are apps developed for your smartphone so that you can take Abounding Grace Radio with you wherever you go, for your iPhone and for your Android. We've gone to a lot of work for you. So thanks today, dear listener, for tuning into Abounding Grace. We always appreciate our listeners and the encouraging notes that you send us. I read them all. We'd love to hear from you. And if you do desire to support us, all of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. Well, now, here is the program from Exodus chapter 10, Exodus chapter 10, which I have titled, and you can find this on the website, A Plague Story for the Children. Well, one of the things that I think is driving a lot of fear right now for Christians living in our country is the issue of, and the question of, and the concern for our children. We basically want a safe environment for them, don't we? We basically want a safe environment for them, that they would grow up in a healthy place and they would have healthy lives and that they would be successful. And if we could pick out the dream that we have for our children, that everything would go well, that they would do well and be free from anything that would be harmful to them. We never stop and think about, though, the opportunity in the midst of how things are playing out that we have to train our children in the events that are happening and unfolding in front of us, in the things that are happening, how they are really golden moments to train them and to be all the more vigorous in training our children and teaching them about the Lord and His power.
You see, what we have before us this morning is God revealing another intention of why he's doing what he's doing. We've been looking at that. He's been sort of unfolding some of that for us and explaining that. In the midst of hardship, in the midst of opposition, when it seemed that his people were losing, when it seemed that they had lost, he's telling a story. Think about this. He's telling you a story. The larger story of all the plagues is the story of God's deliverance from death. He's weaving through these plagues the story of the Christian gospel. But why is he doing this in this way? Why is he doing it in this particular way? This is really special this morning. I have to admit, when you say this is my favorite plague, it sounds strange. But this is one of my favorite plagues. The key to understanding it this morning comes in verse 2. That there the Lord said that he is doing all these things so that his people might know the Lord. What an amazing thing. What a wonderful thing. I want my people to know me. I want them to know what I'm like. I want them to understand that. I want them to see that. But not just you. One of the intentions of the plagues here that we have revealed to us is that God wants the little children to know him. God wants his little children to know him. This event was to be one of the plague stories that Israel, and it's a summary of all the plagues, that they were to look back upon and say, what a story we have to tell our children. When times are hard, and when it seemed like we were being defeated, and when it seemed like we were losing the battle, God wanted every generation to know this story. He gave us stories. And that the purpose of this morning, this plague was intended to impress upon future generations the importance of telling the story. Challenging us that as we look at the Bible and as we read the Bible, that we would tell this story from generation to generation as the central story of our lives. We come this morning to the eighth plague, the locust plague. And the Lord gives us the reasons here right at the beginning. If you look there at verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I've hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son, there it is, and your grandson, how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians, and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. I want you to know me, that I'm God, that I'm the Lord. The mighty things that I've done, the power that I've put on display, the power that I have. But it's interesting what he says there. The mighty things that I have done in Egypt, it has the sense, the word has the sense of mocking. It really could be translated that I have made sport of Egypt. I have made sport of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth in a way that nobody had ever seen anything like. Now keep in mind, this was really the most powerful, hands down, nation at the time on the face of the earth. No one touched Egypt and Pharaoh. That's why Israel was so terrified when they looked back and there came the war chariots. I mean, those are the bombers coming after them. And the Lord says, I made sport of them. Last week, we looked at a few reasons why God did this to the Egyptians. The Lord was declaring that there was no one else like him in the earth. He wanted everyone to learn, all the nations talking about this, saying, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. There's nobody. No, all the other gods of the nations are idols. And he was doing this to declare, remember, his name throughout all the earth. That's what happened when Rahab, all the nations were talking about him. All the nations had heard about the Lord through this. But I don't know about you. As I read this first section here, I find this, and maybe it's just because it's so fresh with what we're experiencing right now in our own country. This is immensely comforting. Don't miss what Moses deliberately wanted us to think about. God hardens them again. That should be taking on some meaning for us by now. Why is God doing this? To show his power. Why is God hardening? To show his power. We think about the recent Supreme Court ruling, and I'm amazed at how discouraged Christians are and panicked Christians are. Hear people say everything's turning against us and we're losing something. You're losing what? Listen, the tide was radically against Israel and Egypt. And what you just had happen doesn't even, it pales in comparison to what those people were going through in Egypt. Pharaoh was known as God in Egypt. Haven't heard that from our leader yet. He took it. But I want you to notice what God told Moses to say to Pharaoh. He walks right up on into Pharaoh's palace, and listen to verse 3. So Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me?" To which you say, "Really?" God just told us he's hardening him. And now God says, how long are you going to keep on this? And how much longer until you humble yourself, Pharaoh? How do you feel when you read that? What do you think the tone of that was? How do you think that went? He's mocking him. This comes as scorn and laughter. This is Psalm 2 playing out. How much longer will you continue to take a stand against the Lord and against his anointed? You see the effect of that? You understand the effect of that? I saw the most offensive imagery the other day. I saw our White House lit up in rainbow colors. The rainbow was God's covenant sign, commonly to this earth, that he would never flood the earth again like that. And so he put a big bow in the sky to say, I'm going to exercise patience and kindness, which Romans 2 tells us his kindness and patience has the intention of leading people to repentance. They took the sign. Our leader takes the sign and decorates the White House in it to approve of everything that's contrary to nature in marriage. Now, put this in context. Are you kidding me? How much longer are you going to continue to do these things? How much longer are you going to continue to refuse to humble yourself before the Lord your God? Shouldn't that be our attitude through this? It's almost comical that these little specks of dust are trying to do this. It's almost astonishing, isn't it? No, it's not just that. It's madness. Moses is in there and he's in jest. What are you doing? What are you doing? Much longer, Pharaoh. I think this is the most exciting time to study Exodus. This morning we get to the larger reason for why the Lord is making sport of them. And it's so special. I find this to be just special. Verse 2 comes out, I've hardened his heart that I may show these signs of mine that you may tell in the hearing of your sons and your grandchildren, your grandsons, the things that I did in Egypt. You ever think that things have to go this way? Do you ever think that what's happening must go this way? He's ready to rumble. He's ready to come in majesty and judgment and deliver. And what a scene that's going to be. My signs that I've done among you, that you may know when you see all this unfold, when you see me make sport of this nation, you're going to know and your children are going to know I am the Lord. What a revelation of the purpose of the plagues. God wanted people to know him. When the opposition is all the stronger and he hits, you see that power shine. You see that power radiate. You see him for who he is. But I can't get away from this. I'm doing this to provide a story for you to tell your sons and your grandsons. What a God we have. He gave us stories. He gave you stories. You know children love stories. Moses, I want you to be constantly about telling the children of Israel. I want you to gather them around and I want you to tell stories. I want you to tell them this great story so that they understand me and they understand my love. Tell them the story of their deliverance. Tell them the story of their salvation, that they might know me. So the Lord is telling us specifically in this particular plague that he gave all these stories in the Bible that we might tell our children the central story of his salvation, of Christ. Children love this. I don't know how many times my daughters come up to me and my children said, Daddy, tell me a story. Tell me a story. Tell me a story. It's like it's wired in them. What a story you have. Let me tell you about this proud, evil man. You know what he wanted to do to you, children? He wanted to hurt you. He was a boogeyman. And he hurt some of our relatives. He hurt some of our children. He threw some of them in the water. And you know he wanted to do that to you too. Do you know what the Lord did for you? Do you know how much he loved you, dear children? He did something just awesome for you. He opened up heaven. He hit their water. He sent those, you know those frogs you like to play with? He swarmed them. He sent locusts down. He threw down the greatest storm, shooting cosmic bullets out of the sky. See, that's an exciting story. He sent them all into the Red Sea for you. All of these stories answer the questions of life. Children have questions. Why are we here? Who made us? Why this? Why that? Why? Where did we come from? Why did this happen? Where are we going? Who is God? Why do people act like that? Why do people do these things? Can you imagine how our children will face the future and the coming struggles that are in front of them, stuff that your generations did not know, I think will be worse for them. Can you imagine if this story is in their minds and they've embraced it, how they'll handle the future? This is what the Lord wanted. This is what he was doing. This is the first thing he said in Deuteronomy. Remember what he was telling the children of Israel to do constantly? Listen, you need to teach your children diligently. You shall talk of all of my statutes when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Teach them diligently to your children. Saddest phenomenon in Israel's history is when Israel got too busy to talk to their children anymore. And the knowledge of God died. And the prophets were crying out constantly, no one knows the Lord anymore. No one knows the Lord anymore. That the parents had stopped talking to their children about their faith and about the Lord. And the Lord said, because you've forgotten your God. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Forget your children. They didn't talk about him. And the reoccurring thing, you know, it's kind of sad that one of my experiences as a pastor is that you have generations that feared the Lord, and then for some reason the next generation seemed to just grow dull, and then by the third generation there was no spiritual life. I've sat and done funerals of people who made it to 100, and by the third generation they had totally checked out from the faith. This was a common occurrence. And the Lord always wanted people to know that one of the great purposes that we're here, one of the great purposes is that Jeremiah said, one of the great pursuits is that people would understand me and that they would know me, that I am the Lord. But what do I want them to know about me? I'm not a tyrant. I want them to know that I exercise loving kindness. I want them to understand that about me. That's why we study the Bible the way that we do. It's why we preach through books. God gave us stories. Here you're learning his character. Here you're learning him. Here you're seeing his power. Do you speak about him? Do we tell? Notice that it was for the grandparents to do this too. I also heard numerous times in my time as a pastor this terrible statement. Well, you know, our grandparents never talked about their faith. They internalized it. Huh? I don't know what that is. We talk about it. This is the design. Do we sit at the table with our children? Have we made that one of the top priorities in the home? Children, I have an assignment for you. You go ask your parents to tell you a story tonight. They've got a lot to tell. J.A. Alexander, in his excellent book on the family, says, "The daily reading of God's word by parents before his children is one of the most powerful agencies of Christian life." We're prone to undervalue it, he says. He says, between families that this instruction goes on and in families where the Bible is not read, the contrast is striking. I believe that's true. To deny such a source of influence to the youthful mind is an injustice, he says. When a father leads this way, he says, a child is forced to say, how can I offend against a father who daily wrestles with God on my behalf? God is so concerned about this. I guess I'm taken by how concerned God is about this in the middle of a plague that he would want to put this down. Well, Moses, so what happens? Moses says, if you refuse to let my people go, I'm bringing on the locusts. They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were on the earth to this day. Now picture this. Moses says it, he turns around and he bolts out from Pharaoh. This is what's going to happen. At this point, Pharaoh's servants begin to panic. What are you doing? Listen. This guy, how much longer are you going to let him be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Don't you know Egypt's destroyed? Can't you look around at your country and see that the whole thing is unraveling at the seams? Can't you see it, dear leader? You wonder why worldly rulers don't wake up and say, everything seems to be falling apart. Everything's in shambles. Pharaoh, our water's been attacked. We have no water. Pharaoh, our crops are all gone. Pharaoh, the storm has hit us and wiped out Egypt. Don't you see? Wake up, man, wake up. Well, now they're brought back in, aren't they? Moses and Aaron are brought back in. And he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? Pharaoh says, so who do you think is going? Moses says, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds. We must hold a feast to the Lord. He said to them, the Lord had better be with you. The Lord be with you if ever I let you and your little ones go. You have some evil purpose in mind. Go, the men. Go ahead. Translate. The children stay. See it? See, this whole plague is constructed in such a way as to center on the battle for the children. Not your children. Not so. You who are men may go. The Lord begins this plague by saying, teach your children that they may know me. Tell them everything that I've done for them. Tell them the stories of their deliverance, that they would come and have life and that they would know me. Pharaoh says they can't go. Do you see it? Do you see the warfare for your children?
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. Static, noise, that's all we hear, or so it seems. Where would you go? What would you pay to hear the truth? Good news, it's free and nearby. The Bible is God's truth. At the Escondido United Reformed Church, Chris Gordon preaches Christ the truth from God's Word every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, 760-745-1679, EURC.org.